Good morning, everybody. The meeting is being recorded. It's 8:31 on Tuesday, October 1st, 2024. Dr. Bustillo, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of the board members and staff and proceed with the Board of Physical Therapy's mission statement.
I'd like to call the October 1st, 2024 State Board of Physical Therapy meeting to order.
Thank you. Dr. Bustillo.
Here.
Dr. King.
Here.
Mr. Leone.
Here.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Barton.
Here.
Dr. Hike.
Here.
And board staff, Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Ms. Bryant.
Here.
Ms. Richardson. Let the record show Ms. Richardson is absent. Ms. Sinish.
Here.
And my name is Judy Chepius. At this point, I believe Mr. Leone is planning to read the mission statement.
Yeah. The mission of the Arizona Board of Physical Therapy is to protect the public from the incompetent, unprofessional, and unlawful practice of physical therapy. The Arizona Physical Therapy Practice Act establishes the standards for the practice of physical therapy, continuing competence and testing, and defines the scope and limitations of practice. The board licenses and certifies qualified applicants as physical therapists and physical therapist assistants and receives, investigates, and adjudicates complaints against licensees and certificate holders.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so our first order of business is to adopt the minutes from the August 27th session, and we can do both the regular session and executive session at the same time. Are there any additions or changes to either sets of minutes?
I would move to approve the regular session and executive session minutes for August 27th, 2024.
Okay, second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda consisting of the regular session and executive session A meeting minutes from the August 27th, 2024 board meeting. Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Abstain.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Okay, moving on to applications for licensure. We have ADA accommodations for Ray Garcia. Is Mr. Garcia on the call?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Are you willing to answer questions from the board?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a...
Yes, before you have the application and ADA accommodations request for Ray Garcia, who is requesting accommodations. The board shall review the information to determine whether the applicant shall be granted the testing accommodations for the National Physical Therapy Exam and or the Jurisprudence Exam. If the board approves the request, Ray Garcia will be allowed to complete the application process by registering and taking the NPTE and or the AZ Law exam as required. Board staff recommends that the board's motion also state which accommodations are being granted. In this particular case, the application before you, the applicant as well as the medical professional had a bit of a differing in terms of the accommodations requested. So this matters for your review.
Does anyone have questions for Mr. Garcia?
I do. Mr. Garcia, a question. Can you just help us understand why your request was different than what was recommended by the licensed therapist that you saw?
I guess I didn't spell that out to him that I wanted to. That was the over the course of 2 days was
a recommendation from my school, and they told me that I should apply for it since I did use it during the program, but I didn't speak to it to him. His was more of the other ones, not necessarily the two, taking the test over 2 days with my anxiety and PTSD, just my lack of focus in that area.
Did you have any accommodations for you when you were a clinical student, when you were on your clinical rotations as far as?
I did not. No, I did not. It was strictly clinical. So clinicals, I did not have accommodations. All my exams, long exams, and even the PET, I got all the accommodations. And I was undergrad and grad school.
Other than like in large group situations, it sounds like, and testing, you know, high stakes testing, how does this, your anxiety and PTSD affect your daily life?
Honestly, I'm doing much better. I got, since I've been out, obviously been going to counseling, been doing a lot of exercise, going to the gym and trying to like manage my anxiety and stress, but I kind of not reclusive, but kind of stay to myself in that sense and just exercise a lot. So try to stay active.
Thank you.
I'm also curious about the paper and pencil and then taking over 2 days request. How do you feel like that would help you?
Only because I like to see the concept and write it out myself versus like having a whiteboard and just erasing it all, just having it there to save a little time and not having to rewrite concepts in that sense. And that's the paper and pencil. And then over 2 days, is it just like I've taken four practice exams already, and I'm meeting the time, but I'm absolutely gassed at the end, and my focus just drops. And I did I actually paid for Final Frontier. And I do an item analysis, and they were like, yeah, your focus towards the end just plummets and you're missing questions based on just like lack of attention span. And that's kind of like, I've known that. And that's kind of why I've used my accommodations throughout grad school, is because, my anxiety and like just testing anxiety in general and focus tends to wean towards the longer, test. So, and that's why I requested a meal.
I think you're given a dry erase board when you go to take it in a marker. So I think the paper and pencil part, you could actually write that out and erase that. Have you done any of that in terms of your practice tests?
Yes, I actually have a whiteboard next to me right now, and that's where I'm practicing with it. I guess I was, from my end, I just wanted like to save the extra time where like if I write a concept down, don't have to rewrite it because I've already written it on the whiteboard and had to erase it. So I guess I was just trying to save a little time, and it's a long exam, so I was trying to save time where I could.
And then the reader as well, that would be someone reading the questions to you. That are on paper,
and I did not know that's what it was. I was told that it was like the reader on the computer per se, and I don't need the reader. It was on there, and I just figured I'd apply for it because I didn't know it was someone literally reading it to me. I'm very capable of reading the questions myself.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you feel like time and a half would allow you time to refocus as opposed to taking it over 2 days?
I don't, only because I've been doing time and a half two times on all my PETs and all my practices. Oh, yeah. And it's just, I still feel like my scores aren't necessarily getting better. They're kind of staying put, and it's again, I did the item analysis, paid for it through Final Frontier, and it's just my attention span just kind of dips off and I don't really recover from there. And that's kind of why I put that in there.
What, Mr. Garcia, what are your thoughts about the recommendations from the counselor, noise canceling headphones, potentially, of course, you would ask for a separate room. So what are your thoughts about the recommendations that the counselor made?
Yeah, no, I agree with them. The noise canceling headphones, because I've taken the GRE exam and a couple other ones in a standardized ProMetrics lab, and just any noise kind of distracts me. And the separate room would kind of do away with the headphones. But I'm also like, I'm one of those people that need to get up and like at least think concepts out. And in a separate room, I think I would have A, the focus, and B, the ability to kind of stand up and and think concepts out and walk like gate questions out, stuff like that. So.
Mr. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so kind of going back to your clinical, so you didn't really have trouble focusing in the clinic and busy clinic and going from patient to patient?
I wouldn't say I did not. It's just more of the testing anxiety that I get. Being in clinic, I'm very good around people. I'm 10 years military, got promoted pretty fast, got up there in that sense, but I'm good around people. It's just my test taking anxiety. It's not great. It's the worst.
Does this affect anything just in your everyday life as far as just ADL activity, things that you have to take care of on a normal basis, extend time, anything like that?
What was the last part? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Like extend time for basic activities of taking care of yourself.
I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily ADLs in that nature doesn't affect me there. It's more of the cognitive and just like the anxiety of driven things. Not necessarily ADLs. I'm very functional disability wise in that sense. It's more of a mental and anxiety if you ask me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Mr. Garcia? Somebody like to entertain a motion?
Dr. Bastillo, this is a harder case than most of these cases that we get, in my view. What the licensee or the applicant is saying normally doesn't fall, in my view, as to a recognized disability under the ADA. But then I read the documentation, and at least the Department of Veterans Affairs has determined that he is permanently disabled due to his service. And so, outside of that diagnosis, I probably would have voted no, but if you're looking for a motion, I will move to grant ADA accommodations of additional time and a half in a separate room. And that's my motion.
Yeah. I second your motion, Josh.
Yeah, I do agree with you that this is different than some of the other ADA accommodations that we do get requested on for test anxiety and things like that. I think it goes beyond that, and that the PTSD does truly contribute to the inability to focus over time. So
Mr. Greer, you had said time and a half, but on the request it says double time. But are you saying you want to change it to time and a half?
I am going off of the doctor. I can't read doctor.
It's Dr. Dr. A.
I'm on page
6, maybe
6 and 7 of our materials. Yeah. That's what I'm going off of.
Okay.
And my understanding of that, Giovanni, is that's the recommendation of the professional. If I'm wrong there, then someone correct me.
I'm curious, I'm on page 8, same practitioner. He does list, of course, extended time and alternate test-taking location, but he also suggests additional break time. So I don't know how that works at ProMetric. Is that built into the 1.5 time are there extra break? You know what I mean? I just want to make sure that I'm following some of the other recommendations. So time and a half to take the test, but is there an opportunity for an additional break for him to get up and walk away?
If you're directing that question to me, I have no idea what that means. Hopefully you're directing it to somebody else.
I guess anyone who might know. Judy, do you know?
Unfortunately, I don't. It's my assumption that the extra time, whether it be time and a half or double time, builds in additional time. It's my understanding that if they wanted to take additional breaks, they could take additional breaks, but the clock keeps ticking through those times. So it could be, you know, if in a separate room, standing up and walking around might be considered a break. I don't know for sure. Monica or Phoenix, do either of you have any additional input?
I don't either.
All right.
Any further discussion? Okay. I think we're ready for the question, Judy.
So it's been moved and seconded to approve Ray Garcia's request for ADA accommodations of additional time at time and a half and a separate room. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
No.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Best of luck to you, Mr. Garcia, on your testing.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
All right. Then we're moving down to item C1, review, consideration, and possible action regarding educational equivalence for licensure. And our first person is Elijah Persadios.
So attached for your review was the application for Elijah Preciados, a foreign educated therapist who graduated from a program that is not U.S. accredited by the Commission on Accreditation of Physical Therapy Education, or CAPE. Elijah's foreign education was found to be substantially equivalent through educational credentialing. The board staff is requesting to review the credential evaluation and in light of the requirements of ARS 32-2022 E3, R424-203A, and R424-101-12. It should be mentioned here that Mr. Preciados, and I apologize if I am mispronouncing that, I think he might be on the call. He is licensed in Hawaii, and he has working experience in the U.S. in accordance with that. So the board is requested to make the following determinations. According to board rule, as the applicant's education substantially equivalent to that of a U.S. educated graduate, if the education is found to be substantially equivalent, would you choose to license or require a supervised clinical practice period upon successful completion of exams in the application process and determination of approval to sit for the NPTE or AZ law exams?
So just to be clear on this gentleman, he doesn't need to take the NPTE because he's already taken it, correct?
Cool.
So we're just approving for the law exam.
Right, right. At this point, for this particular applicant, it's the law exam. It's just a standard request form to take the exams that are applicable to whatever application we're talking about. But yes, you're exactly right. He's already taken the NPTE and passed it. So it's just the AZ law exam.
Okay. I would move to approve him to take the Arizona law exam, and no need for a clinical supervised practice.
Second. Any further discussion? he has his 2 years in the United States already, so.
Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Elijah Preciado's education as substantially equivalent, allow him to sit for the AZ law exam, and waive a supervised clinical practice period. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
All right. Good luck to you. Our second person is Jose Angelo Salon.
So the board was provided the application for Jose Angelo Salon for a foreign educated physical therapist who graduated from a program that is not U.S. accredited through CAPTI. Mr. Salon's foreign education was found to be substantially equivalent through the educational credentialing. So the board staff is requesting a review of the credential evaluation in light of the requirements to determine whether the board agrees that it is substantially equivalent. The board is also asked to identify whether Mr. Salone is able to sit for the exams, would require a supervised clinical practice period, or not. This particular applicant is not otherwise licensed in the U.S. and has not worked in the U.S.
Yeah. So in this case, this person would need a 6-month supervised clinical practice period with a clinical instructor approved by the board and the ability to take the exams to be able to practice.
Is that your motion, Karen?
Yes.
Second.
And you are finding his education to be substantially equivalent?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Any, and just to clarify, the supervised clinical practice period is, they do have a time frame of 6 months with, 6 months within which to complete it, but typically it's 500 hours.
Is 500 hours, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve Jose Angelo Salon's education as substantially equivalent, to allow him to sit for the NPTE and the AZ Law Jurisprudence exam, and to require a supervised clinical practice period of 500 hours. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Good luck. And our third person in this category is Philip Edmondson.
Our third person, yes, you are correct. And his application was provided to you. He is a foreign educated physical therapist, but it is my understanding that this gentleman is a U.S. citizen. He graduated from a program that is not accredited by through CAPTI. But his foreign education was found to be substantially equivalent through educational credentialing. So the board is requested to review that to determine whether it agrees that the education is substantially equivalent. And if it finds that the education is substantially equivalent, to determine whether a supervised clinical practice period is required, and determination of an eligibility to sit for NPTE and AZ Law Jurisprudence exams. This individual as well does not have U.S. work experience, as I understand it.
So this would be a similar case to our previous one. And so I move that we find his education is substantially equivalent and require a 500-hour supervised clinical practice period with a CI approved by the board and the ability to take both examinations.
Second.
Perfect. It's been moved and seconded to approve Philip Edmondson's education as substantially equivalent, to allow him to sit for the NPTE and AZ law exam, and to require a supervised clinical practice period of 500 hours. Dr. Vestia?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Good luck on the exams. All right. Moving along, we're on to agenda item 5, the consent agenda, which includes Calvin Merrill and Lucy Yu. Is there anyone that we need to pull off the consent agenda?
I'd move to approve the consent agenda.
Second. You can improve it too if you'd like.
And improve it.
And improve it.
Never hurts to improve.
Move to improve.
Who did the second?
Kelly King.
Everyone.
Thank you.
You're only allowed one X on a second. It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda consisting of items in 5B and 5C. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King? I'm sorry, Dr. King, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. So that impacts Calvin Merrill and Lucy Yu. If you are on this call, the board has approved your requests. So if you have any additional questions, staff can address that after today's meeting.
Okay, so we'll move on to item number 6, an administrative hearing. Pursuant to ARS 3220-46D and 4110-92, the board will conduct an administrative hearing in the following matter. During the administrative hearing, the board may go into executive session to discuss confidential records pursuant to ARS 38431.03A2 and or to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3. This is in regard to Gaurav Kanal PT. Is
Dr. Bastille, I do believe we need to pause on this for approximately 1 minute. It's not quite 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. I see Mr. Carrier.
I won't address you, Chair, for another 45 seconds, just so we're all following the rules.
This is a great opportunity for baby photos.
Of us?
That would be fun.
I'll try not to rock during the meeting.
My children were grown once, and I found myself standing in line doing that consistent rock
all the time.
All right. It is now 9 o'clock.
Great. Thank you.
See you.
And I see that we have Mr. Carey here. Is Dr. Kanal here as well?
Yes, I believe he's calling in, Chair.
Okay. And I think, Mr. Carey, we're going to have you address the board first, and then we'll go from there.
I appreciate that. And Chair, this is really a product of Mark, Judy, and I going through a significant amount of discussions about a possible way for us to resolve this case. We have been working through this for a while since the board first offered a consent agreement. And it got to the point where we thought there was a ability for the board to be involved in some possible settlement discussions. And a lot of the time what'll happen, or most of the time, a notice of charges will issue, we'll be in front of OWA, and then we'll bring it back to talk about settlement. We just had made progress, so we thought try to streamline this a little bit. What we did provide the board was a packet of information leading up to this meeting. And we're making a proposal for disposition. And, you know, as we got further into settlement and we continued to look at the material, really what started to develop for us is a real belief. And obviously we think we would be able to show at a hearing, not so much that this is a case involving fraud, or misstatements for the purpose of a benefit to a licensee. But instead, this is, I think, someone who would have benefited very significantly from a lot more education, a lot more training before making a transition from standard educational PT into home health. And I think that there was just a significant gulf of knowledge that was missing here. And so what we have tried to do is put together a package of information with some proposed resolutions that I think will give the board sort of decreasing guardrails as he demonstrates accountability to the board. And that's why our proposal here is for probation. We're asking for 25 hours worth of continuing education, which is more than the board typically seeks. We recognize that there are some fundamental deficiencies in the charts. And so, we're suggesting chart reviews with a reviewer, which is something that the board has been very successful with. And I know that, for the investigator, that's something that, you know, she's very detail oriented about, and she did a good job kind of listing where she felt there were deficiencies. I think that can be turned over to a chart reviewer who can assist Dr. Canal. We did suggest, because there's, you know, even if we disagree with the board, there is always, anytime a documentation deficiency, it raises the specter of ethics. We suggested either probe or ethics PBI programming, which is programming that is used. It's a national program that a lot of the boards use to ensure that someone is maintaining ethics. We added, just because this does show up and the board utilizes this sometimes, jurisprudence. And we have, obviously, because there was at least a passing reference, it wasn't as detailed in, it wasn't the focus of this case, but there were some concerns about the level of supervision or the quality of supervision with PTAs. We indicated perhaps either a practice restriction or at least a prohibition on supervision until such time as the board or a designee, which would be, you know, Judy or whoever the board designates, before he could provide PTA supervision. We also suggested some tweaks to the findings of fact and conclusions of law, and made some alternative suggestions. I mean, what the tail that's wagging the dog here is not that licensee does not want to settle the case, but ultimately we're of the mindset that this is not a fraud case. This is just such a deficient documentation case that it allows someone to look at it and say, we don't know what happened, and your mind goes to possible fraud, as opposed to our position, which is there's really serious deficiencies here that need to be cured. And I think given the age of this PT, from a seniority perspective, there's a lot of this is just, you know, not really good practice habits. You know, if this case went to a hearing, from a mitigating perspective, one thing that he would present is he got essentially one day of orientation about home health, and was put into the field. And it was in our position, that is seriously deficient and inappropriate, but I think he really didn't know what he didn't know. And so we really were focused, especially for today's meeting, from a settlement perspective, on what kind of package can we provide to give the board some assurances. And obviously this is pretty significant, that the things that we're suggesting. So if he were to not complete those, certainly the board still has its authority to say he's non-compliant with a consent agreement. So this is our attempt to fashion something that we think strikes a balance between documenting what happened, giving him a sufficient number of accountability points with the board, and also ultimately putting it on him to determine if he's worthy of continued licensure. And of course, this is, as you know, this is always, as a lawyer, if we can settle something, we always prefer that over having to spend either the state's resources or our resources on a protracted hearing. So this is also, to some extent, a pragmatic offer as well.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, would the board like to hear from Judy on a breakdown of the case, or would you like to ask questions?
Dr. Bustillo, you know, I'd love to hear a breakdown of the case from Judy, but then I'd like to go into executive session so I can get some legal advice as to Mark can tell us what we can do and what we can't do.
Absolutely.
Agree.
Judy, yeah.
I'm muted. I'm back. Okay, so a case overview. Dr. Canal's employer, Home Sweet Home, home care agency, filed a complaint alleging that Dr. Canal created a false records and billed two patients for a home care visit when he did not treat them. Additional investigation revealed that Dr. Canal provided treatment where the patient's therapeutic benefit from the home health may have been compromised due to shortened visits. He was also providing oversight for a PTA under general supervision who did not have the required prerequisite 2,000 hours. Dr. Canal was treating patients in a home health setting and billing occurred on a per-visit basis. At the October 2023 meeting, the board voted to move this case to an informal hearing to include additional medical records review of three records. The records were to document care after Dr. Canal had completed the continuing education, which occurred in September of 2022. The findings in the supplemental review confirmed the findings in the original investigative report, as well as identified an additional potential violation the board reviewed and adopted. The care setting for the second record review was a mobile outpatient physical therapy where patients are billed based on the CPT Medicare 8-minute rule. Medicare documentation regulations also applied. In both home health and mobile outpatient therapy settings for this investigation, Dr. Canal was paid on a per-visit basis, regardless of the amount of time he spent in direct care with the patient. The informal hearing occurred at the December 12, 2023 meeting. The board voted to issue Dr. Canal a consent agreement for voluntary surrender of his license with the following conclusions of law adopted. ARS 32-2044-4, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether the actual injury to the patient is established. ARS 32-2044-6, failing to supervise assistive personnel, physical therapy students, or interim permit holders in accordance with the chapter and rules adopted pursuant to this chapter, and as it relates to R4-24-303B and D. ARS 32-2044-12, failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics in the physical therapy profession as it relates to Principle 71B. A physical therapist shall never place his or her own financial interests above the welfare of the individuals under his or her care. ARS 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed. ARS 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter or in the practice of the profession. ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records as it relates to R4-24-303, patient care management, and R4-24-304, adequate patient records. ARS 32-2044-22, providing treatment intervention unwarranted by the condition of the patient or treatment beyond the point of reasonable benefit. A draft consent agreement was sent to Dr. Canal and Mr. Carey on March 4, 2024. Efforts had been made since that time to create a mutually acceptable consent agreement to present to the board. The one item that could not be resolved was that Mr. Carey and his client requested the conclusion of law ARS 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed, be removed from the agreement. The matter was scheduled for board review, discussion, and potential action at the regularly scheduled meeting on Tuesday, August 27th. Then on Friday, August 23rd at 5 p.m., Mr. Carey requested a settlement conference with the following stipulations that he has more fully addressed, including probation with terms, no voluntary surrender of the practice, adding a section in the recitals indicating that the board is not asserting that the respondent engaged in billing fraud or any other kind of fraudulent contact. The board statutes and regulations contain multiple ways in which a licensee can commit an act of unprofessional conduct, and the statutory definitions encompass a wide range of unprofessional acts that may not wholly apply to the respondent's situation. He also, in that email, requested a striking of ARS 32-2044-13, unreasonable or fraudulent fees, and ARS 32-2044-14, deceptive or untrue statements. In the email, Mr. Carey identified that Mr. Canal would agree to an inclusion of ethics violations 3.1 and 7.1D, and all other conclusions of law would stay. And they were also asking certain NPDB codes not be reported. Given the above request, Mr. Canal's case was removed from the August 27th meeting for review and discussion or action. The draft consent agreement that was provided for you was from the most recent. It was labeled as 3.0. That resulted from a good faith attempt at reaching a mutually agreeable consent agreement based on the board's vote at the December 12th, 2023 meeting. At the time of the informal hearing and through Dr. Cannell's attorney, Dr. Cannell attested that he has stopped practicing as a physical therapist, but his current work status since that time is unknown. Dr. Cannell did renew his license for the 2024-2026 renewal period. He also stated at the time that at his informal hearing that he was planning to open a group home or residential facility. The status of this plan is unknown.
Okay. So at this point, Mr. Greer, would you like to go into executive session?
And Mark?
If he wouldn't, I would.
Mark, before executive session, did you want the board to go into executive session both for legal advice and also to be able to instruct you on settlement, since we're kind of out of order with doing this before a notice of charges, but I didn't know if you wanted to also have that scope as well.
I'll defer to the board, but I would be happy to go into executive session for both of those reasons.
I'd like to go into executive session for both of those reasons as well.
I'll second your motion, Josh.
So we're ready for that, Judy.
Okay, I'm not certain that I got the final portion of that. So it's been moved and seconded to enter into executive session to obtain legal advice and to instruct the board regarding settlement options. Is that correct?
Almost correct. I apologize for interrupting. I'm just looking at the agenda, and we don't have the authority to go into executive session to discuss settlement. So it'll just have to strictly be to provide legal advice.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to enter executive session to obtain legal advice. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. For those of you in attendance, the board members will now exit this meeting to move into executive session and return to this meeting when executive session is over. Anyone in this meeting may remain here, and we will be right back.
It is 9:15.
Thank you very much. It is 9:15, and the recording will stop.